Keeping up with changes in federal procurement regulations takes some attention. New rules for small procurement thresholds and a tightening down on the use of sole source awards. Those are among the most significant changes recently. They're ones you should know about. Joining me to help sort it out for you, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo, partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so let's start with the change in the rules for sole source contracting. Now, this is a result of a GAO case or something that the FAR Council has done just as a matter of routine?
Well, it started out with the idea that if you award a sole source or restricted competition contract on grounds of urgency, then you need to limit that contract to the period of time necessary to meet the urgency that you're trying to address. And as part of that, GAO came up with a rule of thumb that, generally speaking, that type of sole source award should be limited to a duration of 1 year or less. And, of course, during that year, the agency would have the opportunity to conduct, if it could, a fuller competition, maybe a more competitive competition for whatever it is it needs on an urgent basis. So Congress then in 2008 puts that rule into law and enacts as part of the National Defense Authorization Act a rule applicable to the government in general that these urgency determination contracts are usually limited to 1 year. And to go beyond that, you require a finding by the head of the agency, or his or her delegee. The next issue now is going beyond that, and they're tightening up on these rules in this new regulation that's been issued. And they're tightening it up on it in two ways. One, they make clear that if it goes beyond 1 year, you need to have a special determination in writing, and that, of course, needs to be reviewed by or approved by the head of the agency. And that special determination in writing has to explain why it's going beyond a year. And the second thing is they sort of closed a bit of a loophole. If you award an urgency sole source for a year or less, and then it's modified or extended in some way to go beyond a year, that triggers the requirement for a special determination why this needs to be done. So those are the tightening up rules on that, and tightening up of rules on that, and it limits the amount to which that urgency determination can be used.
It seems like a year is a pretty wide space for an urgency determination. I mean, a lot of agencies could drive a freight train through a year-long window.
Well, perhaps it is, but GAO in its infinite wisdom came up with that, and Congress went with it because by the time they enacted this law in 2008, the original requirement, the GAO case law had been pretty well established.
And does this relate to contingency contracting? I mean, is that come under the larger rubric of how to buy for emergencies and contingencies?
There's no special rule here for contingency contracting, but you can certainly imagine that that would be a classic example of an urgent determination, urgent sole source determination.
And could an urgent sole source be used if there is only one known source for a particular thing, even if the need is not an emergency?
Well, there's a separate exception for only one known source, and that's not limited to 1 year. So an agency in that circumstance would probably use that separate determination and make that decision.
Here, just to branch off a little bit, it seems like if you had a year-long window or longer or an unlimited window because of only one available source, the fact of the requirement could even spark the development of second and third sources, I would think.
That would make sense. You would have a situation where, if the need wasn't anticipated, other companies might rush to fill it. That's a very good observation.
And so is this new rule that we have been talking about with respect to the unusual and compelling circumstances, a year you have to have permission to extend it beyond a year, is this a proposed rule or is this final?
This is final, and it becomes effective next month in August.
And do we have any knowledge or any metrics as to the extent that government actually uses that contingency rule?
I don't believe that their data is captured separately on this. I think there is data on competition versus non-competitive contracts, but I'm not sure it's broken down to that level of granularity.
All right, we're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. And the other topic today is the expansion or the, well, let's put it this way, the revision of the dollar thresholds for small dollar procurements. What's going on there?
Well, there's a general rule in procurement that's been around for a while that requires every 5 years the FAR Council to look at dollar thresholds and to change them to reflect inflation. And so this is the, you know, this is the 5 year effort to do that. There hasn't been a lot of inflation in the last 5 years, but there's been some, and some of these thresholds have been moving upward. There are probably a score of them. I just want to mention a few of the more important ones. I think probably the most important one is the cost or pricing data threshold, and it also, this threshold also applies to the application of the cost accounting standards. That threshold, which started out years ago as 500,000, is now 700,000, and as of October 1, it's moving up to $750,000. So it's a $50,000 bump there. For commercial items, sole source contracts for commercial items, these requirements kick in at $19 million, than it was $17.5 million. So the cost or pricing data threshold and the CAS threshold will apply to even to commercial item contracts if they're sole source above that $19 million threshold as of October 1.
And just quickly tell us, what is a cost accounting standard threshold? What does that refer to?
Now, that refers to the amount, the size of a contract that where the CAS standards will be applicable, where cost accounting standards will be applicable. And obviously, that goes to the structure of your cost accounting system.
And so the ceiling there now from 700 to 750,000, and for sole source, 17.5 million to 19 million.
Right, sole source commercial items. Otherwise, other commercial item contracts are exempt entirely from that requirement. These are just for a subset of those.
And at the other end of the spectrum, the micro purchase threshold changes also now.
Right, from 3,000 to 3,500. I doubt that's going to make a huge amount of difference. I mean, you can pretty much buy any computer, any personal computer you want for $3,000. $3,500 doesn't give you a lot more breathing room.
Well, the computer you want was $3,000 in 1983, and it's still $3,000 in 2015.
If that.
That's right. And this is also the micro threshold you can use your federal credit card to, correct?
Right, that is correct.
All right, and then above that is the simplified acquisition threshold. Not
right.
Credit card, but simplified.
That doesn't change. That remains at $150,000. But the threshold for use of simplified acquisition procedures for commercial items is now up to $7 million. So that allows an easier method of procurement for commercial items up to a $7 million threshold.
All right. And so these rules are also final?
They're final, but not applicable until October 1, so you can't rush out and do this quite yet.
The next fiscal year, in other words.
Right.
And just quickly, Joe, do you have any sense of how the FAR Council arrives at these numbers? I mean, it's a nice round number, 3,000 to 3,500, 7 million to 7.5 million, whatever it might be. And do they, is it like Wheel of Fortune, or do they have some calculator?
Well, my understanding is that they use the standard measures of inflation published by the government, probably looking at a producer price index here.
All right. Joseph Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for clarifying what's going on.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.